Good morning. Welcome to Faith Community United Methodist Church. We are in God's house together. I just want to let you know that this is the week across the globe that we call the Prayer of Christian Unity Week. And so there's going to be, during our worship today, we're going to utilize an intercessory prayer that the World Council of Churches had provided as a part of that week, of this week. It started yesterday and goes through Saturday of next week. So that is just a time for all of Christianity to come together and pray about our unity, knowing that we are unified in Jesus Christ, and that is where we find our life in Him. Let's turn to our announcements this morning. There are just a couple I'm going to lift up to you. Today is Human Relations Day. We don't have any more of those envelopes, but it is Human Relations Day where the United Methodist Church, not just our conference, our district, it's all the United Methodist Church. This is one of those Sundays where they receive an offering that goes to the work of the larger church. And this one is in relation to diversity and coming together as all people. So if you want to provide for that offering during our offering, we'll accept it. Just make sure it's noted that it is for Human Relations Day on your checks or on an envelope so we know that that's what it is for. Mary and Martha is planning a mini retreat for women. And if you want any more information about that, there's a little bit in your bulletin, and there's an actual sheet out on the table in the narthex that you can take with you as well that has a registration form on there to be returned. So if you want to be a part of that, now's the time to get registered. Men of Faith will be meeting tomorrow, so come on out and be a part of that, all you men. It's a good time together, get to know each other, and to see how the Lord is working amongst us. And I just wanted to make sure you saw the Christmas Eve offering. We received $608.20, and we're going to split that across our benevolence fund and the food fish pantry here in Xenia for Greene County. So I just wanted to thank everyone who participated in that Christmas Eve offering. With that, let us prepare for worship as we receive the prelude this morning.
Morning. Would you please stand as you're able to join in the call to worship as printed in the bulletin? God's faithful love welcomes us here. Thank God for this glorious gift. God's faithful love redeems our lives. Thank God for our many blessings. God's faithful love is ours to share. We will offer this gift to God's world. Our opening hymn this morning is Great is Thy Faithfulness, number 140 in the hymnal and on the screens. Isn't that wonderful? Great is thy faithfulness. You may be seated, and if you would join me in the opening prayer is printed in the bulletin. Let us pray. Faithful God, we come to you from many walks of life. Some of us come after wandering off. Others come sensing that you are as close as their very breath. From our many journeys, welcome us with your love. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us, that we might sense your presence in our lives. In joyous gratitude, we pray. Amen. And now, if I could have the children come up, that'd be wonderful.
Here they go.
Hi, guys. You know what? I've been thinking. We just got done celebrating Christmas, right? When Jesus was a baby. And we're heading towards Easter when Jesus was 30-some years old. Now, what about the time in between a baby and an adult? How old are you, Ian? You're 6. Jesus was 6 years old at one time. Did you know that? And how old are you, Robin? How old? 9. Jesus was 9. And how old are you? 11. Jesus was 11. How old are you? 11 also. Okay. And Jesus was a teenager. And Jesus had brothers and sisters. And Jesus probably played hide and seek. And maybe some other games. He probably even had to share a bedroom with one of his brothers.
Or more than one.
Whoa. So, Jesus was real. And you guys can have a connection with him, even if you're 6 or 9 or 11 years old. Doesn't matter. Let's pray. Jesus, we are so glad that you are in our lives. We ask blessings on these children, these families. Thank you that we know that we can connect with you no matter what age we are. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, guys. There's cookies and an apple stick in there. Our prayer hymn this morning is Take Time to Be Holy, and we're going to sing verses 1 through 3. It's number 395 in your hymnal and on the screens.
Thank you.
The prayer time this week is back and forth. I'm going to start. Pastor Jeff is going to continue. And then you all are going to come in. It's up on the screens what you need to say. We're praying. For all things were made out of nothing, and their being would again sink into nothing. If the author of all things did not hold it by the hand of governance.
Lord of life, we receive all creation from your hand, and by your providence, teach us to live in your world with care and justice for all that you have created. We believe.
We believe. Help our unbelief. I call this faith the intelligible light which by grace dawns in the soul that supports the heart and grants the gift of hope.
Loving God, grant us the gift of hope and abundance in a world troubled by strife and discord. Strengthen your people afflicted by apathy and division. We believe.
We believe. Help our unbelief. What wonder, then, if, coming to God, we first of all profess that we believe, seeing that, without this, not even common life can be lived.
Merciful God, forgive us for the times we have failed to live a common life as Christians. Draw us more deeply to one faith in you, so that we may witness to the world. We believe.
We believe. Help our unbelief. Let faith prevail. Faith that leads the mind to trust. Faith that does not come from human logic, but is the fruit of the Holy Spirit.
O heavenly Comforter, we pray that we may trust more in the gift of your wisdom rather than the cleverness of our thinking. We believe.
We believe. Help our unbelief. His light appeared and made the darkness of the prison disappear, and hallowed our birth and destroyed death, losing those same fetters in which we were enchained.
Compassionate Lord, lead us to work together so that wherever there is darkness and oppression, suffering and injustice, we may bring your light and freedom. We believe.
We believe. Help our unbelief.
And now, as brothers and sisters of Jesus, together we pray in the words that he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, as we turn ourselves to the Lord by giving our gifts, let us always remember the gifts we are given are ours to share. Ushers, would you please wait upon us?
Thank you.
together in the prayer of dedication. God of steadfast love and faithfulness, thank you for the gift of your love and the gift of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the gifts we return to you this day and every day. Help us share as generously with others as you shared with us, that your love might be known throughout all the world. Amen. You may be seated.
The scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 11. It's about spiritual gifts. Brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. You know that when you were Gentiles, you were often misled by false gods that can't even speak. So I want to make it clear to you that no one says Jesus is cursed, when speaking by God's Spirit, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are different ministries and the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God who provides all of them in everyone. A demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. A word of wisdom is given by the Spirit to one person. A word of knowledge to another according to the same Spirit. Faith is still another by the same Spirit. Gifts of healing to another in the one Spirit. Performance of miracles to another. Prophecy to another. The ability to tell spirits apart to another. Different kinds of tongues to another. And the interpretation of tongues to another. All these things are produced by the one and same Spirit who gives what he wants to each person. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, I want to begin my message today with praise to God, our Creator. Praise to the one whose love is uncontainable and unlimited. So much so that this love overflowed to create all that is. Establishing an environment so amazing and beautiful for us to live in and appreciate that sustains the lives we have been given. Praise to the one who creates each person in the image of God's self, giving us a conscience, reason, imagination, and creativity. Praise to the one who uniquely designs who we are individually with recognizable physical attributes, as well as inherent traits, characteristics, skills, talents, and capacities that express our uniqueness to the world. Praise to the one who saw it wasn't good for us to be alone as people created by love, to love our Creator and one another. You see, God is worthy to be praised. And friends, there's no limit to why God is worthy. So I'll stop there this morning. But think about it, please, about how much we have been given by God, our Creator, before we even know who God is and acknowledge Him. You see, it is common among all people, believers and non-believers alike, to talk about how people are gifted. Gifted students, gifted athletes and singers, gifted actors and leaders, gifted writers and seamstresses and artists, etc. We can recognize these gifts from God even if we don't give God the credit that are inherent to who people are, to who we are. It's amazing to me how we basically have the same body structure, but we aren't able to use it in the same way. Even when people have similar giftedness, the way they share them is different. Unfortunately, often many of us are guilty of not making use of the many capacities that we have. These gifts from God are wonderful and can be used for many different purposes as each person decides to use them. These gifts are also different from the spiritual gifts Paul teaches about in his letters. There is some crossover of inherent giftedness with gifts given by the Holy Spirit. The difference is the purpose of the gifts. So what is the purpose of spiritual gifts, we might ask? And that's what we're going to look to answer today. So often when we, when spiritual gifts are discussed, the focus is on the specific gifts that have been identified here in Paul's letter to the Corinthian church, as well as others referenced in letters to the church in Rome and Ephesus. It is widely understood, however, that there wasn't an intent to provide an exhaustive list of spiritual gifts in any writing, but an intent to draw our attention to the reality of spiritual giftedness and what the purpose of the giftedness is. Now, when I studied this passage from Corinthians, four distinct aspects of the purpose of spiritual gifts were highlighted for me to share today. So Paul first taught, "Brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. You know that when you were Gentiles, you were misled by false gods that can't even speak. So I want to make it clear to you that no one says Jesus is cursed when speaking of God's Spirit, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit, where God's Spirit and the Holy Spirit are one and the same." Like the early church, I believe still today, many of us Christians are ignorant, indifferent, or perhaps resistant regarding spiritual gifts. In Corinth, Paul was most concerned by the conflict and division that was being caused by the misunderstanding and usage of spiritual gifts. In the Corinth community, speaking in tongues had become a gift that was believed to be a designation of superiority. Here, Paul immediately dismissed this thought by referencing those who worshiped worthless and lifeless idols, spoke out and assumed spiritual tongues in moments of self-induced ecstasy. Speaking in tongues in and of itself is not evidence of the Holy Spirit or of superior status. Paul clarified the real evidence is in the unifying message that comes from everyone who has been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Whether we speak in unrecognizable tongues or in a known language, in Christ, we are all gifted by the Spirit with purpose to proclaim Jesus Christ is Lord of the world. The Holy Spirit first gives us assurance of our own salvation. However, as precious as we each are to the Lord, this assurance isn't just for us to keep to ourselves. It is given to provide us with confidence to share who Jesus is with others. This unifying message of Jesus Christ is too good for us not to share. Paul then encouraged the church this, saying, "There are different spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are different ministries and the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone." Paul had a brilliant mind. And often his teaching is over many of our heads because he packs so much in just a few words. Here, Paul outlines the theological foundation in connection with spiritual gifts being given to the church. Yes, spiritual gifts are from the Holy Spirit. But we don't have the Spirit without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and without the grace of God the Father, the revealed Son of God isn't sent as the Savior of the world. With this allusion to what we now recognize as the Trinity, Paul taught that everything is rooted in God's purpose of salvation being offered to the world. With the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Jesus sent the church into the world to continue the Father's work of salvation. So the purpose of spiritual gifts is to fully equip the church for participating in the saving work of our triune God. The good news We are not left to our own devices to do this work. Sure, God can use our inherent giftedness and does, but through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we are assured that we will have everything we need to accomplish whatever work God has called the church to do within our walls and in the world that is around us. So keep in mind, it is the same God who created us that produces in us the spiritual gifts that are required. God isn't limited by who we are or who we think we are. God gives us spiritual gifts to overcome any assumed shortfalls that we have told ourselves. For this to be true, though, we are to believe God works through us by spiritual gifts. And we are able to be willing to serve the Lord Jesus in the power that is given by the Holy Spirit. Do we believe? Are we willing? Then after setting this theological foundation for spiritual gifts, Paul addressed another misunderstanding about them, teaching a demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. Now within the church in Corinth, there seemed to be the beginnings of a hierarchy created based on certain gifts that were demonstrated. As a result, some used their gifts as a means to climb the ladder of perceived importance in the church. Paul directly denied that any giftedness is for self-promotion in any way. The gifts we are given are not about us at all, but are about the work that God is doing. The purpose of spiritual gifts are always to bless the community with God's goodness. You see, as soon as we attempt to use a gift we have been given for our own purposes, it is no longer a spiritual gift. And our work will become a burden to us and to the community. Pride is a deterrent of the work of the Spirit within us and through us. But in humility, we present ourselves in service to the Lord as the Spirit leads. And then finally, Paul described the unifying Spirit behind the variety of gifts, teaching about them, saying a word of wisdom is given by the Spirit to one person, a word of knowledge to another according to the same Spirit, faith to still another by the same Spirit, gifts of healing to another in the one Spirit, performance of miracles to another, prophecy to another, the ability to tell spirits apart to another, different kinds of tongues to another, and the interpretation of tongues yet to another. All these gifts are produced by the one and same Spirit who gives what He wants to each person. Now, Paul shared a pretty long list. But again, as I mentioned, not an exhaustive list of gifts of the Spirit. Paul's list shows that not any one gift is master of the other. All come from the one Spirit, and various gifts are spread out among the community intentionally. The Spirit isn't in the business of giving all the gifts to a select few people. Also, it is important to note that spiritual gifts don't give anyone more authority. Each gift brings value to the work that God is doing in and through the church. We can't lose sight that we are the church. Each one of us makes up the church. And each one of us is a servant of the Lord. We all belong. We all matter. We all have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the purpose of the spiritual gifts are to give each person value within the body of Christ, the church. We can't have the mindset that we don't have, talking about ourselves, we don't have anything to offer the Lord in the work of salvation. We need to have the mindset that the Holy Spirit gives each person what the Spirit desires in the work. The Spirit is within us and has the power to produce whatever meets the challenge before us in our ministry and mission to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. We all have purpose in this beautiful work. Are we convinced? Well, God has gifted us with the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit has the initiative and the power to produce gifts of the Spirit in us for the Lord's purposes. Therefore, spiritual gifts have purpose in us, for us to proclaim Jesus to the world as Savior and Lord of all. Purpose to fully equip us, the church, for the various work of salvation. Purpose to bless the community with God's goodness, and purpose to give each person value within the body of Christ. So friends, let's acknowledge the Holy Spirit is within us. Make ourselves available to the Spirit. Make ourselves available to the church. Invite the Spirit to produce gifts in us for the Lord's purposes. And then let's use these gifts to lift up Jesus and His love to our community. Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. It's number 89 and on the screens.
Thank you.
Are you inspired? That music, just in of itself right then, inspire you to know that you are alive in Christ. That aliveness comes from the Spirit. Tap into the Spirit and allow it to move us, not only among ourselves, but into our community to share this love divine that we have experienced. Go in peace, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.